And we trust that God would truly help us today. And there's so much that is involved in what I'm trying to deal with, and I do not have the mental ability to explain it to you. There's some things that is impossible to explain or expound. There's some things that God has just purposed that you will experience them, or you will just know nothing about them. Amen. The world, what I'm about to preach about, some of the, it along with a lot of other things, the world has tried to explain, and they have gotten off in error and false doctrine. There's just some things you just have to reckon to be so. Amen. Because God just made it that way. God has just designed it that way. And I praise the Lord for that. I don't have a problem with that. Some people may, but I don't have a problem with it. I thank God that the secret things belongeth unto the Lord our God. Amen. And there are some hidden things, but I'm glad that He's not hidden the experience. Amen. The explanation may be hidden, but the experience is not hidden this morning. 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 2, Peter said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We're interested in the phrase that we find in verse number 3 where Peter said, according as His divine power hath given unto us, and here's our phrase, all things. All things that pertain unto life and godliness. I'm interested in that phrase. I believe it's very important this morning. Amen. I believe this phrase is very important to every individual in this building. He says here that a provision has been made so that we can know what life is, and life in a realm of godliness. Everything that is needed, everything that you need to equip you in this life, everything, all things, it means exactly what it says. All things, everything you need to live godly in this world has been given to you. If you're saved by the grace of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord. May it be a lamp unto our feet this morning, a light unto our path. I pray for the unction of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, that you'd give us wisdom for the moments we have together. And I ask, Lord, for the direction of God. I ask you, Lord, that you'd touch our heart and touch our mind and help us in some way to be able to unveil truth today. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have looked at the theme, all things that pertain unto life and godliness, there's been a couple of subjects that we've already dealt with. We looked at the commandments of God, and we said that the commandments is something that God has miraculously provided for you and I, that we could obtain godliness and live a life of holiness in this world. Then last week we preached on chastisement, not a pleasant subject, but still yet in Hebrews chapter number 12 we find out that chastisement and God's hand of guidance and correction in our life does order, amen, the peaceable fruit of righteousness to be fulfilled in our life. Now I want to take this theme again this morning and go a step further, and I began to prepare this message, and I thought, well, this may should have been the first message that I preached on the subject, but I'm just trying to give it to you as God is giving it to me, so we need help from the Lord today. But our question has been posed, can a man really live for God in this world? In this world of temptation, in this world where
The influence of society is totally against the grace of God. When the devil is truly at as the prince and the power of this world, pulling and dragging and setting snares for every individual, is it really possible to have a life of godliness, a life of purity, a life of holiness in this world? We've tried to, I think, in this generation of Christianity, with all the temptation and with all the sin that dominates the mindset of this world, it appears that we try to ignore what the Bible teaches about godliness. It seems as if we have put it in our mind that it's unreachable, that we cannot attain a godly life, and we just don't seem to even give it any effort, amen, in trying to look at what God has provided and granted unto us, that we should be holy. But the word of God's still true. The Bible is still plain. And 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 15 says, "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." I want to quote Mr. Wallace again. I read a book, and I found this statement in the book, and this man's name was Captain Reginald Wallace, and I'm assuming, and I may be wrong again, but I'm assuming that he may have been a part of the Salvation Army years and years ago, when it was at its peak and was preaching temperance and godliness. Here's what he said: "The greatest thing I learned after becoming a Christian was that I could not live the Christian life." The greatest thing, this man says, after becoming a Christian that he learned was that he could not live the Christian life. Here's what he went on to say: "Christianity is supernatural. The life is essentially miraculous from its commencement," he said, "to its through its continuation, and yea, its consummation is altogether a work for God." Amen. Amen. Or a work of God. Chance said he heard this statement on the radio. I mentioned it to the chapel class, and it took me a minute when he said it. I said, "Really, I don't get that." And I had to sit there and think about it for a while. But here's what he said. He heard a man say, he said, "In my pursuit of godliness, I left Jesus behind. In my pursuit of godliness, I left Jesus behind." In other words, what the man was saying is, "I've tried to please God in the energy of the flesh. I've tried to do what the Bible says based on my own ability and my own merit, not realizing the importance of Christ living in me and Christ living through me." And so I say again that this Christian life is supernatural because it is spiritual. Amen. We talked about the commandments. Here's what we said. We said you got to hide it. Everybody knows that. Hide the word of God in your heart. You got to hold it. Amen. The Bible speaks of holding the truth. The Bible talks about handling the truth. Men handle it in deceitfulness. We know that we are to handle the truth properly. We know that we are to heed it. In other words, we are to follow its precepts. But here's the miraculous work of the word of God that I'm afraid we're missing when it comes to godliness and purity in this world. And that is, it must be in your heart, and you can't put it there. For the word of God to be in your heart, it takes a miraculous work of God. It takes being a part of the new covenant. It means that you've been born again, amen. That God has taken your stony heart, amen, and God has written his law in your soul. God has given you life by applying his truths within you. Then we preached about chastisement from Hebrews chapter 12. We talked about how the chastening hand of God will make you conscious of the sin that you're in, how that you should be concerned about it, amen, when God deals with you. I'm going to tell you something. You ought to be concerned if God doesn't deal with you. Amen. You should be concerned about your sin when God deals with you about it. Amen. We talked about what it means to get caught, what it means to be under conviction, what it means to know the compassionate hand of God in your life, what it means to be legitimate in the family of God, what it means to be a child, what it means to face chastisement, what it means to be corrected, what it means, amen, to experience the consequences of sin. Amen. I want you to take your Bible and turn back a page in 2 Peter chapter 1. Or 1 Peter chapter 2. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 2 for just a moment. So here's what we said. Things, all things, I'm preaching about all things that pertain unto life and God. Preacher, I really want to live godly. I really want to be right with God this morning. I want to leave this building today and I want to serve God. I don't want to throw my life away. I don't want the world and the devil and the flesh to consume my life. I want to live for Jesus. I want to be right with God. I want to live for Jesus. Well, I want to tell you something. The point of the message this morning is this, that God has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And so if you're saved by the grace of God and you went to Calvary and there's been a time in your life that you give your heart to Jesus and you've been born again, I have good news for you. You can live for God. Everything you need has been provided for you to live for God. Chastisement is something God provides to keep you in order, to guide your steps, and to lead you down the paths of righteousness. The commandments. God just didn't give you a book. I'm glad I have it. Amen. I thank God that I have the Word of God in my hand this morning. I praise the Lord for that. But you can take it away from me today. You can take it away from me today. And God has so fit to put this book in my heart. I have it in here. You can take its pages and you can take its cover. But I'm telling you, you can't take it away from my soul and my heart. Because God, in His sovereign power, when He birthed me into His family, put His Word there. Notice what the Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2 in verse 24. Here's what He says. Speaking of Jesus, who His own self bear our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. I want to preach to you this morning on the cross. That is something in the realm of salvation. Now listen to me. I don't have time to preach on the cross this morning, being the power of God, amen, concerning salvation. But if you've never been saved, you're going to have to make a visit to Golgotha, where Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood for the sins of the world. That's the only hope you have. You have no hope in changing your own ways, trying to live a better life. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to go by way of the cross. There's no other way. You can't be a Baptist and go, a Methodist and go. You can't go any other way but through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you what, just because you got saved at Calvary doesn't end the work of Calvary in your life. Amen. Just because you went to Calvary and by faith trusted in the Lord Jesus and the blood that He shed there was appropriated to your life and forgiveness was granted unto you and you were born into the family of God. Thank God for that. I bless the name of the Lord for it. And I can sing with the ladies, oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior is mine. I praise God for that today. But I'm telling you, the cross and its effects in my life and the work that took place in my soul after I met Jesus there, it's far beyond my imagination today. The cross deals with many issues. It deals with the past. The cross deals with the present. The cross deals with anything that's projected out in your future. The cross deals with propitiation. God atoned for your sin and covered it there. Amen. The cross deals with problems. You can go to the cross and find the answer to any problem you have. The cross deals with peace. Amen. And thank God I found peace at Calvary. The cross deals with pardon. It's there that my sins were done away with and forgiven. But the cross also deals this morning with the subject that we're dealing with. That's purity. According to the verse that I just read, who in His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. Amen. The cross Let me give you a few things, and you'll just have to pray for me. The Lord will help me sort these out in my mind as I try to preach them to you today. But the cross this morning deals with atonement. Atonement is very important if you're going to understand what it means to be holy. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:3, "For I deliver unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Amen. Jesus died for your sin. Preacher, I'm in a mess this morning. I got sin in my life, and I don't know what to do. Get to Calvary today. That's the answer. Amen. That's where atonement is found. Preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't know what you've done, but I know what Jesus did. He shed his blood on the cross, and it's there. You can find forgiveness and peace. There's an atonement there that'll cover your sin and give you life and peace in this world. Preacher, I don't understand it. I don't understand it either, but I know the mercy and the grace of God can be experienced today by the wickedest man that's ever lived if you'll just get to Calvary. Bless the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you today, it's there that we can live godly. We're all affected by the flesh. We're all affected by the world. We're all affected by sin. But God has so ordained it that there is a means of atonement where we can stand pure in His sight, holy in His presence. Amen. Nothing that I could do would make myself holy in the presence of God. It's supernatural. It's miraculous. It's spiritual. Yea, it is the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross when He died for the sins of the world. Preacher, I want to be holy. I want to live for God. I'm going to tell you where it's going to start at, young lady. It's going to start in an altar where you get the atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus appropriated to your life. Here's what we think. Well, preacher preached this morning on holiness, and I'm determined that I'm going to be holy. I'm going to live pure from right here on out. I'm going to live God from the day forward. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm tired of the past. I'm tired of the things I fed my mind. I'm tired of what's happened yesterday. I want to live for God.